Shalom. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, hosting today's Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is part 9 of Rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle series. We will continue from where we left off last week as we were talking about the type of threads in our linen garments or sheets. Polyester thread or cotton polyester thread, which is mixed, will discharge. That, in other words, the polyester can build a spark and build up static. If you doubt this, you might want to try going to a department store, especially during certain times of the year, winter, spring, although this just happened last week, and go through and touch all the fibers and the outfits and the clothing that are on the racks. Most of them aren't 100% cotton. And if you're in that section that has a lot of polyester and you go to reach or touch something else, you may get sparked. So if you use 100% cotton thread or 100% linen or hemp thread, which I haven't been able to really to find the thread for hemp, then you are staying kosher from the perspective of not mixing. So if we stay with 100% plant fiber like cotton, hemp, or linen on our linen fabric, then we're staying kosher. We have plant fiber on plant fiber. From a Jewish kosher perspective, you may mix cotton thread or plant fiber with your linen. What you don't want to do is mix animal fiber with plant fiber. And that is believed to be part of the principle in the scripture that tells us not to mix wool with linen. And in the testing, it indicates that wool has 5,000 signature frequency and linen has 5,000 signature frequency, and that when you mix them together, they collapse each other, or they cancel each other out to zero. Therefore, linen loses its properties. If you also think about it from the perspective of the Kohen or our father's people to be wearing linen and not wearing something that would cause static and or sweat, then that's another reason why he wouldn't want us mixing. But his instructions were clear and not to mix. And if we go from Genesis to Revelations, there is a theme throughout all of the scriptures and a principle that we're not to mix. We're to be set apart and be children of light. We're not to mix the light with the darkness. Right before the Exodus, on the 10th day, when they brought in that lamb, and then there were the days of darkness, Israel had light. Those who had the lamb had light. And we know that Yahushua said that he was the light of the world. He is that light. He's that light in Genesis 1, 1, 2, and 3 that Yahuwah created. And when we become the children of light, we have his light living within us. We have his ruach. We have that life and that light and that energy, which sets us apart from the children of darkness. Remember, Yahuwah is building a house of light. In the day of Yahuwah, and when that day comes, there will be no temple. We will be the Living Stones Tabernacle, and his light, his lamp, will dwell within us. Could it be that that life, that light, that energy that Yahuwah is and has given to us and put into our DNA is what will reflect from that linen at the time of the restoration or the resurrection, just as it was in the garden when the glory or the light and the energy of Adam and Eve clothed them as they walked in the garden before they were stripped of that glory and received darkness and were naked. Now, did the Israelites have light just supernaturally, or was it because they were being obedient and walking in Torah and had his ruach and his presence, and there was something shining, some life, some light, some energy that was shining because they had the lamb, that physical lamb that represented Yahushua, the lamb, the light of the world? Or could they possibly also had light because their garments were bleached white linen and it reflects light? Is it possible that by following his instructions and obeying him on simple things, on how and what we eat and how and what we dress, and following the rules in his Torah, that they are there to protect us and to provide for us what we need in abundant life, even during the days of darkness? I would like to interject here that I do believe that there will be a physical building or tabernacle temple in the land. However, I believe that Father has shown me that there are those of us who are called to focus on rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle, and there are those who are focusing and called to the tabernacle. Both are important, and the physical tabernacle is the pattern, this foreshadow of the Living Stones Tabernacle. But I also believe that ultimately, as it was in the garden, when the light and the glory of Yahweh was in Adam and Eve, that is the full restoration that we're looking forward to. And therefore, that is what I focus on. This this is going to take a process of time. We have to see the fulfillment of the prophecies of the restoration of Israel and the tribes brought back from the four corners of the earth with the whosoevers that would like to join in this covenant. And then there's other events where there will be the witnesses, the two houses, Ephraim and Yehuda, proclaiming together that the coming day of Yahweh, the light, the fire, the consuming fire, the judgment is coming. And they will be walking in agreement and prophesying and proclaiming and calling for teshuvah and repentance. But when they die and when they're resurrected and Yahushua comes down, they are raised up from the dead. They are a bride that has proven themselves. They are no greater than the master. They are a bride without spot or wrinkle. They have given their lives so that they might gain their lives. They have the heart of the Father that all would come into the kingdom and that none shall perish. And just like Yeshua asked that this cup might pass before me, he was willing and he was sweating that blood and he was pressing in for the reward that would be gained. And so will the bride. For the bride must be worthy and match up to the groom that she's getting ready to have a cod in union with. Remember, to have a cod is to walk in union with, in agreement with. She's going to rule with Yahweh. Israel is one who rules as if or with. Yeshua said, I pray that you are a cod, you are one as I and the Father are one. And so he wants a bride who is going to walk as if he would walk as a father would walk. She is going to prove herself. You want to be great. You want to be a witness. You want to be part of that mighty event when they lie dead in the streets, to see that when all the world will acknowledge that Yahuwah is God of the universe and creator of all things, then you've got to be willing to die and you've got to be willing to live in such a way that you're willing to die. So instead of trying to protect our lives all the time and trying to prepare, and it is good to prepare and it is good to survive and to endure, but ultimately we all have to die sooner or later. So are we living for something to die for, or are we living just to live to save our lives? What in our lives are worth dying for? Not so much what in our lives is worth living for, because if it's worth living for, it's worth dying for. This is what the bride has to ask herself. This is the bride that's going to endure and to overcome and not have a spot or wrinkle and be prepared to meet that wonderful master. Yeshua gave his life and proved his love and his worth and his glory to be able to rule and reign the entire world. The bride is going to go through a pressing. She's going to give up her life. She's going to witness and she's going to do her job and she's going to be resurrected. We are no greater than our master. The bride is going to do the same thing in the pattern of proclaiming for that period of three and a half years, 42 months, and she's going to die and she's going to be resurrected. And that same spirit that raised Yeshua, Jesus, from the dead is the same spirit that is going to raise her up. And then there will be a full restoration of that kingdom and the living stones will be that tabernacle. Because remember, this is going to be probably after the physical earthly tabernacle with the physical rocks or stones is going to be defiled by the Antichrist. But there's going to be a resurrection glory. That new Jerusalem, that bride that comes down, are those living stones of his people that are resurrected, that each represent the stones of the 12 tribes that have the glory and the light reflecting, that are going to build his tabernacle that he indwells in. I encourage you to compare Revelations and the witnesses to Yeshua's walk, to Elijah. Elijah had a period of three and a half years, 42 months, and there was a showdown to show who was the living God. This same showdown with almost the same verbiage of how the people are going to be in awe with the resurrection of the witnesses. And then the rebuilding of the living stones tabernacle is like the rededication of the temple. It's a parallel story to Hanukkah. They came in the ninth month, they defiled the temple, and when the Maccabees came in and they regained the grounds, they resurrected, in a sense, that tabernacle. They cleaned it, and here was a new tabernacle. Well, we're going to see a new tabernacle, the living stones tabernacle, that is going to be resurrected after the defiling of the tabernacle, the earthly tabernacle that the Antichrist defiles. Could it also be that when then the witnesses die and lay in the streets and everyone's giving gifts. Are they just giving gifts to give gifts? Or is it during the time of the year that it may be Hanukkah or Christmas where people do give gifts? And I just want to encourage you that in your steering of your spirit to endure and to see these great days that are coming upon us, that when you're walking in fear or you're afraid, remember our reward is Yahweh, and to gain our life is to give it. We must have that in our mind, or it's going to hinder us and keep us from walking out what Father wants us to do as the bride. In 2004, when Father was restoring a vision in a dream to move to the Northwest, it's a long story, but I'll try to make this short. There were the hurricanes that hit Florida, 2004. We had three in a row, actually four. And during the last one, as we were getting ready and being released to return within just a matter of 2 weeks, very quickly, we had a hurricane. And in that hurricane, I was praying that Father would not let the house blow away, because in my eyes, in my mind, the only way that we could afford to finish this move and this calling that the enemy had already tried to stop once, that if the house blew away, there would be no house to sell in order to have the funds to relocate. And as I was praying, you know, Father, please keep the house safe. Father, please preserve this. Father, please do this. He just spoke to me and said, "You are so selfish in your prayers." And of course, I was a little shocked because I thought I was supposed to pray for protection. But he just showed me, you know, it doesn't matter what happens, what you walk through, no matter how bad it is, you best be praying that I am with you, that you have my presence. This is how our brothers and sisters around the world are being tortured, maimed, burned, cut into pieces, and yet the church, the congregation, the living stones continue to multiply. It is because they know and they understand that it is His presence. It was His presence that walked the great martyrs through to their end, praising Him and praising His name in glory. We need to pray for His presence. If we have His presence, we can walk through any fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have never walked that fire without His presence. And when His consuming fire, light, energy comes, it will be His presence that's with us, that will protect us in the fire while He is consuming the wicked. We'll be right back after this short message.
There's a remnant of mamas living today.
Shalom. Remnant Remedy would like to announce our new Give and Save discount savings coupon on essential oils in appreciation for our Remnant Mama listeners and Hebrew Nation Radio. This month, you can save 10%, while 10% is given to Hebrew Nation Radio when you purchase essential oils. Just go to the Hebrew Nation Radio store and click on Remnant Remedy to order. When checking out, enter the code Hebrew Radio in all lowercase as a discount coupon code. This offer applies only to essential oils and not any other products. This offer expires June 30th. Now let's talk a little bit about Remnant Remedy sheets. Our sheets do not have seams down the middle. We put our seams down the edges. We think there's less wear and tear, and it, for some people, it seems to bother them. For other people, it doesn't, but we do put our seams down the sides. The widest fabric that we are able to locate and is available at a decent price is 59 inches in width. And with that 59-inch width, you have to take into account that you're going to get 4 to 8% and shrinkage when you wash it on normal conditions, or you have to sew a seam down the middle. So we want to keep our sheets kosher, and if you're sewing your own linen sheets, just keep that in mind about the threads. Be sure to listen to part 3 of Transitioning to Linen 101 Basics. That's available at nitzamoshe.podbean.com, or go to the bottom of Remnant Remedy and click on the links, where we talk about some tips on sewing. We also talk about stain removal, so you can use that if you make your own sheets or garments, or if you're going to purchase them. In fact, you may want to listen to all of Linen 101 Basics, where we talk about, once you realize you want to wear linen, what do you do to transition? To wash your linen sheets, you want to wash them on normal setting at lukewarm. You don't want it to be too hot. Now, one of the properties of linen is that you can sterilize it and use hot water. But let me just tell you, if you use hot water, then you're going to shrink your sheets or garments. So unless you need that sterility, that extra measure, wash them on lukewarm and dry them on medium to low heat, and or hang them to dry, and or consider putting essential oils such as purify or hyssop, even lavender, in the dryer with the linen sheets or clothing for their antiviral or antibacterial and antifungal properties in the essential oils for about 5 minutes on medium to low heat. Then we recommend that you only use lukewarm wash and low to medium heat with your garments and your linen sheets. And again, I'm talking about garments and sheets that are already sewn. If you want to pre-shrink before you sew, then you cut and measure to take that extra shrinkage into accountability. Wash them on hot water, dry them on hot heat to prepare the garment, and then cut and measure and sew your sheets or garments with the appropriate measurements. But afterwards, once they're made, then you go back to the lukewarm wash and or medium to low heat, and preferably air dry or flat dry. And those, again, the detailed instructions are with our sheets. You can find instructions on how to sterilize your linen bandages and or linen by going to antlife.org. Mothers, young and old alike, will love this website. There's some wonderful information there with some craft ideas, especially if you're a homeschooler or a young mother. And even as an older woman, there's some really good information and recipes on how to make beef jerky and use coconut milk and goat's milk. And I encourage you to go to that website. And it's done by a wonderful sister in Yahweh. And when she has spare time, which is very little, as she is a young mother with three young children, she gives us wonderful, beautiful information on that website, antlife.org. So we want to wash our linen sheets on lukewarm, normal setting. You could use a gentle setting. However, I find that on my washer, and I have a side loader, not a top loader, it doesn't wring out the water enough. If you wash with detergent, use gentle detergent. I personally do not wash with detergent, especially on my white linens. I use white distilled vinegar on my wash, and I also use it in my rinse. Now, if I feel that I need detergent, then I will use a gentle detergent. I will put some Mrs. Stewart's Bluing. Make sure you mix that appropriately and not put it on straight. You need to dilute that so that it makes them bright and white but doesn't turn them blue. And so I put that Mrs. Stewart Bluing in a little bit of gentle detergent. And if you use detergent, only use about half of what is normally called for. And then put the white distilled vinegar on the rinse. I use white distilled vinegar for all of my rinse cycles, no matter what I'm washing, because it helps get rid of the residue from the chemicals in detergent. Rinsing with white distilled vinegar is inexpensive and I believe healthier than the chemicals of softeners. Plus, you don't get that softening buildup. Do not bleach your linen. Bleach will wear out and wear the fabric down. Interestingly, on the topic of the color black that they use to dye, particularly linen, breaks down the fibers more. And I have personally seen this where people have made black linen clothing and the black linen clothing or cloth breaks down faster and doesn't last as long. Natural fibers like 100% flax linen does shrink. There is a normal shrinkage of about 4 to 10% when you wash on lukewarm and dry on low to medium heat. That is normal. Expect that. If you're sewing your own garments in particular and or your sheets, although you don't have to do it with your sheets if you take into accountability that shrinkage, you should pre-wash your fabric. If I'm making garments or sheets for me personally, I will wash on hot water and dry high the first time. Then I take my fabric and put it back in and get it wet and then dry it for about 5 minutes and then take it out and lay it flat. That's because I want the ultimate shrinkage on my fabric before I make my sheets or garments. However, if you're purchasing sheets or you're purchasing garments, you need to only wash on gentle lukewarm for your washing and low to medium heat just for 5 minutes or so, 5 or 10 minutes at the most when you're drying. Then take it out while it's still damp and either iron it or lay it flat or drape it. And if you do that properly and you'll learn how to gauge that, your linen won't have to be ironed. It'll dry pretty flat, especially regarding your clothing. So remember, if you're buying sheets, that you don't want to wash them on hot water. Linen dries very quickly. Remember, that's one of the properties. That's why if you spill something on your linen clothing or your linen sheets, it dries very quickly. I make homemade soap. I have seen chocolate and spaghetti stains, although spaghetti stains are a little bit harder, come out of white linen by using my homemade soap and scrubbing it on the fabric with the soap and then washing it. I was amazed at how it cleaned up. Of course, I did it right away. I didn't let it sit for hours. And homemade soap is very good. The ones I make anyway, they're very good for cleaning. They're soft, but yet they really do the job. My husband is a diesel mechanic, so I have to have a soap that does the job, but at the same time is very mild. One of my favorite soaps that we make has got coconut oil, beef tallow, and then we put in ground clove and cinnamon, and then we put the clove and cinnamon oil in it. And it is the softest yet most effective soap that we make. And it has a wonderful aroma with the essential oils, and yet it also has the fine scrubbing of the clove and cinnamon that we have ground and put into it. And it's a beautiful looking bar also, kind of like a marble. It is advised if you want your fabric to last the longest on sheets or clothing that you don't put them in the dryer, that you hang them out. However, what I do is I put my clothing or my sheets in the dryer for about 5 to 10 minutes, depends on how much I'm putting in there on the volume. And I put it on medium heat and I walk away after 5 minutes and then I come back and I check it. If I think it needs another 5 minutes, I'll do that. But what I want is I want my fabric to come out and I want it not to be dripping wet, but damp. And then I will take it and I will drape it over couches and chairs to lay it as flat as I possibly can. And then I let it finish drying. And then if I want to press the top edge of it, then I will press it. But I usually don't have time to press my sheets. So with my garments and my sheets, if I lay them flat at that damp stage, because you want to pull them out before they get real wrinkly and dry, and you want to get them while they're still wet and not dripping, you lay them out, they will dry pretty straight. And if you do it properly, there's hardly any ironing needed at all. And remember, the more you wash your linen, the softer it becomes. One of the things that I like to do when drying my clothes for those few minutes, and even my other clothes that I do on a daily basis, is I will take a piece of linen cloth, or you can use a static-free cloth, you know, the commercial ones that you buy that you've already used, but keep it, or get just some cotton or linen cloth, and put 2 to 4 drops of essential oil on it. We use hyssop, lemon, purify, tea tree oil, or lavender. And then we throw that dryer sheet into the dryer so that now we are also adding antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal properties. Plus, we have a nice refreshing smell. I believe also that this is healthier and less expensive. So invest in a piece of linen cloth or a cotton cloth and use 1 to 4 drops depending on how much of a scent you want. And you will be able to get the benefits with the least amount of money and without the chemicals that are harmful when you breathe them and or for your skin. So when you buy your linen sheets, you might want to consider buying some of those essential oils. Do not over dry your sheets. Now, if you do decide that you have to dry your sheets, remember the fibers break down and collect in a dryer. That's what that lint is all about that you have to clean out. But dry them on low to medium. When they're dry, pull them out. And if you're going to put them on your bed, put them on your bed. Or if you're going to put them up, fold them immediately to help keep them straight. Sometimes you may over dry your sheet or garment a little more than you wanted to so that it's not as wrinkle free as you'd like. You could either put it back in the rinse cycle and start over, or take the next load of clothes that's already damp and wet and put your linen in there with it for just about 4 or 5 minutes. And then take it out. One of the things that I really like to do and I encourage you to do is that on every 5th day or 6th day of the week, wash your linen sheets and have them nice and fresh and clean for Shabbat. I also encourage you that as you go into Shabbat or at the end of Shabbat or during Shabbat, whatever works best for you, to take a Shabbat bath. Fill your bathtub up with water, nice hot water to your liking. Put some Epsom salt in there. This is a great time of the year to use that, especially when you've been out gardening, because it helps take out the acid that gets in your muscles when you're working and you're sore. And it also helps detox the body. And put in some essential oils. My favorite for Shabbat is Hadassah or Kohan. We run that as a special. And just put it in your bath. Cedarwood, sandalwood, uplifting is another one. Consider the routine about enjoying Shabbat and looking forward to Shabbat as a practice for the 7th day. So these are things that you can do to add to Shabbat. I know many people wear their one linen outfit on Shabbat. After all, the 7th day is about the 7th month of Sukkot, the 7,000th year when we will dwell and we will go to the wedding supper and we will live and reign with Yahuwah. And white linen is the wedding garment associated with the wedding day. And it's nice to look forward to getting into those Shabbat sheets nice and clean and taking that Shabbat bath with essential oils, even if you do it just 1 day a week, and make it part of your delight in celebrating the Sabbath. With each linen sheet purchase, we do send you a detailed care sheet. If you're looking for twin or double sheets, then please email us or call us because they're not quite ready to put in the shopping cart, but we have been taking orders and selling linen sheets in those sizes. The queen, the king, and the California king are on the shopping cart. Also, our king and queen sheets are on sale until June 8th. Please join us again next time and let your garments be always white and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
Learn how to make healing oils on your own, grinding wheat and storing food.